You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the gentle, fast-acting laxative of the podcast world. Don't you feel better already?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. Whether you listen to it or not, it's going to happen. I don't know how to thank you for coming on over to listen to the show today. Actually, I really don't know how to thank you. I don't have it in me. I'm not that appreciative, I guess. There'll be a little gift coming your way. There'll be a $1,200 stimulus check that I have sent out. I've signed my name to it. I've asked Donald Trump to sign it, but it was my idea. I said, you know, people listen to this show all the time, and I'm not giving them any money for it. They certainly don't give me any. I'd like to send them a stimulus check. So, look out for it. They made a small mistake on the stimulus check. They forgot to sign it, so I don't know how good it is. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good day. So, Ron, that was a short show. Yeah, but, you know, let's break it down to what actually has any relevance. It becomes a very short show. It lasts about like 20 seconds. Very similar to your last sexual experience. And yeah, that's what this is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, good to be with you on this fine day. I don't know how fine the day is for you. It's April 20-something. 28th, 29th? I have no idea. Really? I have no concept. I think it's the 29th. Might be the April 42nd. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's a Wednesday. It's what they call hump day. Well, they used to call it hump day. Now there's no point. Used to be the middle of the week. Now every day is the middle of the week. I have no idea what day it is. This has been the biggest problem with this whole thing, is that I don't know what day of the week it is. And I don't think you do either, to be honest with you. I think when someone says to you, what day of the week is it, quick, I don't think you can answer right away. I think you have to do some math. I don't think you really know, because they all look exactly the same. Although sometimes outside it's sunny and sometimes it's raining. But beyond that, there's really nothing, no difference. There's nothing to compare it to. Tuesday was exactly like Wednesday. Wednesday's going to be exactly like Thursday. But that's good. That way you can paint your own definition on it. I'm making up my own days. Yeah, there's like 9 days of the week for me. I've made up a couple of extra days. No one's going to know. Who's going to know? Who's it going to bother? I've made up double day. It comes after Sunday. Day after Sunday is double day for me. And when I say to people, what did you do on double day? They say, I'm nothing. I just stayed in bed. They don't even know. They don't even know what the days are called anymore. I wish that when I was younger, I was homeschooled, because what a pain in the ass it was to go to school every day. Oh, my God. You had to get out of bed, first of all. And when I was younger, I had no trouble sleeping. You get older and like, how did you sleep last night? Oh, not too great. I got up to pee at 3 a.m. Kids don't get up to pee at 3 a.m. They sleep like for days on end. If you didn't wake up a little kid in the morning, that kid would never get up. That kid would be in bed from like age 2 to 27. I guarantee there would not no reason to get out of bed. Aren't you hungry? Don't you want to eat a meal? Shh, I'm sleeping. It's true. So 5 days a week, my mother used to try everything to get me out of bed. Sirens, air horns, nothing would move me. Oh, Mom, do I have to get up? Something about those covers on the comfortable bed, I just couldn't get out of bed. And my dreams were so vivid and wonderful. Oh, my God. They weren't sexual, no, because I didn't know what that was just yet. But they certainly were vivid and wonderful. There was candy in every dream. I don't know. So going to school was an imposition, man. You had to get dressed. My mother would lay out my clothes. I had no life. I couldn't choose what I wanted to wear. She'd lay them out on a chair that was across from my bed. Looked like a person that was run over by a steamroller or something. It was a flat person. It was me. My mother used to lay my clothes out as if there was a person in them. She would take the shirt and kind of drape it on the back of the chair, and the pants would be on the seat of the chair, and then the shoes would be down at the bottom of the pant legs on the floor. It looked like a person was sitting in the chair who was really skinny and flat. I don't know why she did that, but she did things like that for I don't know why. Never asked her. No. Mom, when I was younger, why did you lay my clothes out as if there was an actual person sitting in a chair? I would never ask her something like that in her age. Never ask her those stuff. So I'd get up in the morning and my clothes would be laid out. I didn't have a choice there at all. And I go downstairs and my mother would have breakfast ready. And it was usually oatmeal, like Quaker oats or something. I don't know who these Quaker people are or why they were so obsessed with rolled wheat. But man, I mean, Lord, I had that just about every morning. There was cream of wheat. Do you remember that? Wheat wasn't bad enough. We had to start creaming the damn thing. But I had no choice. I had no choice. That's what was laid before me. And then I had to walk to school. Better than taking the bus with the other asshole kids on the bus. Oh my God, kids. Ugh. To this day, I don't understand them. I don't like them. I didn't like them much when I was a kid either. I didn't even like myself. But to be on a vehicle with 30 other kids, I don't know if it's purgatory or hell, but it sure ain't heaven. So I walked to school a lot, and that was the best part of the day, was walking to school. And walking home was even better. But I loved to walk because it was alone time. It was just me and my motor functions. It wasn't so bad, except for all the books I had to carry. We had to carry a lot of books. All right, I'm going to give you a little insight on what my age is, okay? I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I'll give you some insight. When I was walking to school, there were no backpacks. No, the only backpacks were if you were going to go hiking on a mountain. But there were no backpacks that you put on your back and you put your books in. No, there were book straps where it was like just a strap and it went around the books and it helped you carry the things as one unit. But there were no backpacks. Not that I knew of. Maybe there were, but I never saw them. And then I would get to school. And there you go, there's kids all over the freaking place. Everywhere you look, there's kids all over the place. There were a couple of teachers, a couple of adults. I liked them. I thought adults were good because they knew how to act. But the kids, no concept. No concept whatsoever. They're just all over the place. They can't talk. They can't relate. They can't communicate. They don't look too good. They're stupid. And they were all over the place. Schools were full of kids. Top to bottom, these little midget idiots running around. no knowledge, didn't know what they were doing, socially inept, and I am put into a building with hundreds and hundreds of them, moving around like little perverted ants in a farm. Disgusting. Spend the whole day with these walking pieces of crap. Ugh. No manners, no idea of humanity, just walking into walls, saying stupid stuff, a bunch of kids. The best part was kids couldn't talk while the teacher was talking. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. Now, I was a class clown, but I took it really far. I put on the makeup and the big wig and the floppy shoes, and I don't think that's really what class clown was about, but I misunderstood. As a class clown, I would walk around with a seltzer bottle and squirt at the other kids. I would... Now, every time a teacher said something that was a little, either a little to be misinterpreted, I would come up with a funny line. And the other kids would think that I was really, really funny, when indeed I wasn't. It was that they were too stupid and thought everything was funny, but it wasn't. My best class was French class, not in the sense that I was best at speaking French, but that's where my best jokes came out of. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mr. Bogatti was the French teacher. Sounds Italian? I know. He was a decrepit-looking man. I don't think he was actually from France, but I assumed he was. If you speak French that well, you have to be from France, don't you? So he would say, okay, now who knows bibliothèque? Who can say bibliothèque? And I'd raise my hand and I'd say, bibliotheco. And the kids would laugh and you know. Anyway, it wasn't even funny. It wasn't even funny then. It's not funny now. So my job is a class clown. Never got paid for being class clown. It was my job, but never got paid for it. The girls liked me because I was funny. They like a funny person. But it's a utilitarian-like. It's not like let's have sex and have some wild, passionate foreplay. It's not that kind of like. It was more. I want you around me because you're funny and you make me laugh and you are very utilitarian to my psyche. So I was friends with a lot of people. And it wasn't until I got to junior high. See, when I went to school, there was a grammar school. And then some of you call it like, I don't know, secondary school or something or whatever. They call it junior high school in the town that I went to, in the western sleepy town. It was junior high school. So I was a junior. I didn't like being called junior. That's like demeaning. That's like the Antilles. Some people live in the Greater Antilles. Some people live in the Lesser Antilles. How in the world could you hold your head up and say, I live in the Lesser Antilles? Don't ever admit that. The rich people must have been, we're in the Greater Utility. Oh, yeah. The Greater Antilles. Yeah, that's where we live. Those people in the Lesser Antilles. I'd move. In our town, they defined you by what side of the tracks you lived on. And there were actually railroad tracks that split the town that I was brought up in. Yeah, so you really could be from the other side of the tracks, literally. It was an expression, but in my town it was actually true. I was on the better side of the tracks. Of course, the best side of the tracks is the side that's not on the tracks itself. And there were actual trains, not commuter trains. There were actually freight trains on these tracks. And when I came home from school and went to school, I had to cross these train tracks. And it wasn't at a road intersection. It was under a bridge. There were actual freight train tracks. And I had to cross them. Because you had to get from one side of the tracks where the school was to the other side of the tracks where I lived. And I would, it was like crossing the street, man. I mean, you had to look both ways and make sure there wasn't a train coming. That would have ended my school career quite quickly. Yeah, I know. It's not funny. I don't know of any kids that were hit by trains, but kids I knew, I'm surprised they weren't. After junior high school, I went to the real high school. Now we're not kidding around. Now it's high school. Now some of the kids are acting like college kids and are acting somewhat mature. And that's where I had my first sexual experience. Not in the school itself, in the broom closet or anything, but that's where I met people that were eligible to teach me how to have sex. Now, I already knew how to have sex with myself. I had gotten that down pretty good. I was so happy with myself. It was unbelievable. You know that expression, get to know yourself? We were quite close. Me and myself knew exactly what I wanted and delivered. But having somebody else there was a different story, man. I knew the girl parts because I had seen pictures in National Geographic. It's always African women with their tits hanging out. Yeah, that was porno to kids when I was growing up. National Geographic. Because they actually had pictures in the magazine of women without any clothes on, but they had to be in a tribe. Then it was okay. If they weren't in a tribe, it was porn. If they were in a tribe, it was interesting. So I've told this story before. I'll tell it really, really quickly because I don't want to bother you. But I was fortunate enough to have one of my first sexual experiences was with a girl that was a candy striper. Now, she didn't work in a candy store. She was she worked in a hospital. So she had some background in body parts. And she displayed that background quite readily. And she was one of my sexual experiences when I was in school, in my first year of high school, I believe it was, or last year of junior high school, I don't recall. And I had had sex before, I just didn't know what to do with it. I had it with a girl, but, I think it was right. I don't know. I was happy. I hope she was. I don't know. It's not like they write you cards the next day saying, yesterday's sexual experience was quite enjoyable. Thank you so much. The response was not. But this nurse taught me a lot of things about the female anatomy that I did not know, such as where you go to pleasure the other person. And it happened to be the soda shop down the street. It was the train tracks. I've told the story like a month ago. My father let me borrow his car. Little did he know, he really was letting me borrow a mobile motel room. And we would go in the back seat of my father's car. And this candy striper nurse in training taught me the female body parts and what to do with them should you need them and you break down in your car. Did I tell the kids to leave the room? I should tell them, leave the room now. I think, look, next time you come here and listen to one of my shows, vacate the kids first. Have them go to another room and bang on some pots and pans or something. Yeah, I'm referring to the teenagers. They shouldn't be hearing this either. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Everything's wrong these days. Everything's wrong. Anyway, I have a great guest coming up on today's show, and she will be with us momentarily. She's down the hall in the waiting room. I think that's where she is. I'm not too sure. I don't know. I've got to keep my distance, not because of the thing going on. It's just I've been told to keep my distance from her. That's simply the reason for that. Anyway, let's speak to her now. Joy Cho joins us now. And she's a graphic designer. She's a social media star, and I understand you've authored quite a few books already.
Yes, I have 3 books that have previously come out, but we had just launched a very new one, my very first kids book called Be Curious with Scholastic that I'm so excited about.
That's fantastic. Now, we're talking about celebrating every moment of childhood. This is directed toward kids, you say?
It is. I have 2 young children of my own. There are 2 girls, 5 and 8. And for me, this book is really about how to give our kids the tools to become amazing adults. So different qualities like curiosity and kindness. And so this very first book, which is the first of 3 of a series coming out this year, is all about curiosity. So it follows a curious little cat through adventures that he sees along the way and sort of asks the reader various questions. So it's great for babies, for toddlers, and especially when you have kids who are just starting to read, they can read the book on their own as well.
That's great. Yeah, it's these are lessons that are, to me, they're more important than going to school, because this is what builds character and success in life and comfort and happiness. I mean, this is an inner thing as opposed to a learned experience.
Absolutely.
So now you've been you have an actual brand. Tell me about yourself, though. You've turned yourself into quite a person here.
Well, I started my career as a graphic designer back in 2001. Yeah. Past post college. I had some traditional graphic design jobs in New York City, and then I started my own business in 2005. Yeah. That was partially out of changing cities and not necessarily finding the next right job. And in the meantime, I started freelancing. I started a blog, and this is back in 2005 when social media wasn't a thing.
Right.
And so that was my very first form of social media. And from there, Oh Joy, which is the name of my company, has grown from a design company where I designed things for a lot of other different brands to a lifestyle brand where now we create a lot of social media content on the various platforms that are now current and present and very popular. And then we also design a lot of products with various different companies, with headlines at Target, with headlines with Band-Aid.
Whoa.
And it's also... And it's also given me the chance to write a bunch of various books, some business books, some lifestyle books, and now kids' books.
And when do you have time to breathe?
Yes, isn't that always the question?
Yes.
I mean, I love doing a lot of different creative things, so yeah. It's fun. It's fun. I like to stay busy.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Well, you're doing that. You're doing that. You've achieved the busy part. There's no question about that. Let's go back to the book itself, which I find fascinating. It's interesting that when you're very young, you learn things through the eyes of animals and things other than yourself. Are children kind of like, you know, when you get older, you learn things through yourself and examples of other people. When you're a child, it's not the example of other people. It's an example of other animal kingdoms and things. I guess it's a way for them to connect.
It's so true. I mean, it's funny, when we started this series and we knew we were going to talk about these various characteristics and qualities, we immediately dove into animals because there's just something about animals, yeah. I think, that kids connect with at a very early age. If you think about stuffed animals, if you think about things that kids might watch on TV,
yeah.
It's just something where they seem friendly and happy, and also an animal is an animal. It's not a boy or a girl.
Right,
it's not
right.
old or young.
Mm-hmm.
It can be anything. And I think because of that,
yeah.
It just speaks to children in such a broad way.
It's very, very interesting. And it actually works. The most important thing, as you know, job one is to engage the person. And how do you engage a child? That's not easy because their minds are all over the place. Their attention span is usually not that focused. And you've captured the way to keep their focus and their attention. And that's the success part of it. There's another thing about the book that I find fascinating, although I'm a little too old to enjoy it as much, is the opening up the flaps in the book. I understand that so you can actually interact with the book itself physically.
Absolutely. It's a board book, so it's small, but it also has 6 pages for small hands, so it's about 7x7, mm-hmm. and it's very interactive. So in almost every spread, there's either a peekaboo or a flap, mm-hmm. and being a mom of 2 young kids, and I've seen them read so many different types of books, it's just something, especially before the child is reading themselves, and they don't necessarily recognize the words when the parent is reading for them. It's just something for them to do. It's something interactive. It's something engaging. Yeah. It's something that whomever is reading to them can help them interact with in a really fun way, even at a very young age.
Yeah, very, very smart. How high up age-wise does this go for you?
Well, the book is technically, this one is for ages 0 to 3, but as I mentioned, my kids are 5 and 8, and so they're both reading, and it's a great book for them to be able to read it. For early readers in the 4, 5, 6 range, the words are right at that specific size that is great for them to start reading back to their parents or to their younger siblings as well.
Yeah. Joy, I'll tell you something very interesting. I'm going to admit it to you, and I think most adults would. When they sit down and they go through a book like this with their young children, I think the adults enjoy it just as much, perhaps even more than the children, because it swings us back to our childhood, and it makes us feel very comfortable, and we really get into it. And it's just like, wow, I can still get into little children's books by lifting flaps. I'm actually enjoying this as an adult. It's interesting.
Absolutely. I love that. I feel the same way when I read books with my children. It takes me away from the stress of life and all the things on my mind, especially these days with things being so unknown.
Yeah.
You can just sort of escape for a little bit. And that's what a book is, whether it's for a child or for an adult. It's a mini escape for all of us.
It's fantastic. Now, where do we go again to get a hold of this stuff?
You can find everything at ojoy.com, and you'll see a link there for my new book, Be Curious, and you can find all the links of various places to buy it.
Fantastic. And then we can follow you and your enterprises as well there?
Exactly. Everything is linked there.
Wonderful. Well, you've been an inspiration. Thank you for doing this. Stay busy, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. There you have it. That is to your delectation. I hope I have been able to keep you occupied for this amount of time. That's the goal. Goal! I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. Anyway, I hope you're doing okay. By the way, what other talk show actually cares about you like I do? You know, like I actually say in many of the programs, I actually say, how are you? How are you feeling? How are you doing? I'm making believe I'm having a conversation with you, which is the best way of having a relationship, making believe you're having one. They don't know. But I actually care. I actually hope that you're doing okay and everything's fine and I you're feeling good and your psyche's decent. I really hope so. I really do. I don't have a caring bone in my body, but I sure can make it sound like I do. And isn't it all just that? Isn't it all perception? Wow, he asked me how I was doing. Yeah, that's all I did. I didn't really mean it. Doesn't matter. You don't have to know. Nobody knows. Spend your life saying nice things to people. Do you really care? No. But it sounds good. Okay. That's good enough. Well, for us, that's not good enough. We actually do care about other people. At least we say we do. And that's what's important. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. But here's the interesting part of this. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I know. I didn't think so either. Yeah, yeah. I think tomorrow is the last day of April. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure what year this is or anything like that. But I think tomorrow is the last day of April. So we're going to have a celebration. I don't know how. I don't know why. But it just sounds like I should tease you into something because everybody teases you into things. When you're watching television at the end, toward the end of the show, they say, and coming up on the news, and then they give you some headlines that are interesting to you, but yet they don't tell you enough to give you any information, that's called a tease. I don't like to tease. I don't think that's right. I don't like to be teased. Say what's on your mind and get out of my face. Don't tease me to stick around, then you'll tell me what you really want to say. I mean, you know, you don't go to the doctors, and then the doctor says, well, we've given you an examination, and, I don't know how to tell you this. What is it, doctor? What is it? Well, I don't know how to tell you, so I'll tell you next time you show up for the appointment, okay? I'll tell you next time you come by for a checkup, but it ain't good, but I'll tell you then. Don't tease me. Don't tease. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.
Yeah.